Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Last week, we talked through Jack Phillips' victory at the U.S. Supreme Court, so we'll move on from that. If you have someone who thinks that homosexuality is acceptable, please consider sending them the link, kgov.com/homosexuality. And then we're going to link from that page to the series we did last week, talking through the issue, giving an overview of the issue. But the one thing we didn't cover last week was, and it's on that page, kgov.com/homosexuality, the list of Bible verses against this sexual perversion. That list, right at the very top of this page, and this is our main landing page, so to speak, for the issue of homosexuality. It's our main resource, and it is loaded with arguments and warnings against this behavior. And right there at the top, it also says, see below for the Bible verses that condemn this sin. And I was asked by a listener, why don't we go through those verses on the air? So we'll do that right now to conclude last week's series. But then also what we want to get to is this weekend's Western Conservative Summit. We had a table there, Colorado Right to Life. I had the opportunity to work that table and talk to plenty of folks. In fact, also Ross Kaminsky at KHOW, he was in a booth just a few booths down from us, broadcasting. So we want to talk about that and the Mars discovery announced by NASA. Recall last week, NASA said, tomorrow we have a major announcement. And so briefly on this show, we reported that and said, when they make their announcement, it will be something that is difficult for them to explain, but something that will be perfectly consistent with the global flood and the hydroplate theory. And sure enough, that's exactly correct. So I'd like to talk a bit about that today. They found organic molecules on Mars. They've also found such things on comets, like Comet 67P, that the European Space Agency, they landed on that comet a couple years ago, and it confirmed yet another prediction of the hydroplate theory, namely that that comet is made up of millions of rounded boulders. So interesting, and yet another prediction of those who study the global flood and the hydroplate theory. So we want to talk a bit about the Mars discovery and why we Christians, we really have an unfair advantage in understanding science, in understanding not only the world we live in, but the solar system, even the galaxy, even the universe. And that's why so many debates on science and origins, they go so well for creationists, and specifically for creationists who study the global flood and the fountains of the great deep, the water that came up from below the crust of the earth that flooded the earth. If you study that, you have such a better handle on the physical history of the earth, the solar system, and science in general. It's so fascinating. Folks who get our Real Science Radio podcast, every Friday show on creation evolution, I mean, they've been telling us for years that they just love it, and the momentum of that program continues to grow. In fact, right now we're doing a series. June is Grand Canyon Month on Real Science Radio, and we had a pilot. He flies for one of the United Airlines regional carriers, and he was at Denver Bible Church yesterday. And he said, Bob, the series on the Grand Canyon, I love it. I fly over the Grand Canyon once or twice a week, and it is so exciting to be able to understand how the Grand Canyon formed. And from my perspective, you know, you're 30,000 feet up above the surface of the earth, and seeing it week in and week out for years, you could literally see with your eyes that the River Carved the Canyon story is false and how, in fact, the Grand Canyon and the entire region formed. So that series is ongoing. June is Grand Canyon Month at RSR. The first program was The Reasons Why the River Did Not Carve the Canyon. And the second program was The Reasons Why the Walls of the Grand Canyon, the layers, the strata, are not millions of years old. And therefore, of course, they are not 250 million years old. So that's going on with Real Science Radio. And then also, there is a video on YouTube, a two-minute video by David Dietrich. He has created this. It's a work of art. It promotes the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's called Reverse Thinking. If you want to see it, you could find it, of course, or you could go to our website, kgov.com/gospel. And it's been on our gospel page for some years. That's where we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every page on our website, whether people go to theologythursday.com or realscienceradio.com or rsr.org or kgov.com, they're all basically hosted on the same server, the same website, and every single page. There are now over 10,000 pages, topics, programs, videos. What a resource. It's like a Wikipedia for the Christian worldview at kgov.com. Every one of those pages, at the bottom of the page, in the footer, the top right of the footer, you see the gospel. And that's a link to our page on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sharing the gospel with people, encouraging them if they'd like to talk to a real live person, they can do that. If they'd like to get a DVD from us, Mount Moriah, The Evidence for the Resurrection. But the page also shares the gospel. It has this embedded video, Reverse Thinking, a two-minute video, and it has links for people. And if you want to share the gospel with someone, let's say they're an atheist, or let's say it's a teenager, or even a sports fan, or photography lovers, or Catholics, or Protestants, or someone you want to share the gospel with, or someone who speaks a different language and you want to share the gospel with them in their language. In fact, we have links up to 1,000 languages you could share the gospel with people in who speak up to 1,000 languages. For movie lovers, if you want to share the gospel or understand the gospel from the Apostle John's account, or if you want to understand it from a single chapter in the Bible or a single verse. So we have all that available to share the gospel, including then, like I said, get a DVD in the mail, which we send for free to an unbeliever who requests it, or speak to a real person. And we'll have someone on staff or one of our volunteers at Bob and Yurt Live call, you know, whoever asks and says, I'm interested in hearing about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some people will call us when they see that and they say, will you call my cousin? He's not a believer. And we're like, no, that's not the point of that. If your cousin asks us to speak to him, then yes, of course, we'll be happy to do that. Anyway, David Dietrich, he produced this two-minute video, and it very clearly says that you cannot reproduce it, you can't broadcast it without written permission. He has given us permission to share the audio of his YouTube video on this program. So those are the four things we want to do. I don't know that we'll get to all of them today, but let's begin with, and this is now the conclusion of our series last week on homosexuality regarding Jack Phillips, the Baker Masterpiece Cake Shop, his victory at the U.S. Supreme Court. There are many people say that the Bible does not condemn homosexuality. Many people say that. And then others will say, well, that was in the Old Testament. The New Testament is different. The New Testament is love. And I guess their point is that in the Old Testament, God was mean, but then he got counseling in the intertestament period, and then he was nice. I guess that's what they mean. But Jesus Christ is the one who spoke to Moses in the Old Testament. The Godhead, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Typically, it is God the Son. Whenever there is a theophany in the Old Testament, an appearance of God to man, typically that is a Christophany. That is, it's the second person of the Trinity who's revealing the Godhead to man. And so even if it only was the Old Testament that condemned homosexuality, that would still be God, because he loves us, giving us a warning not to destroy ourselves, not to destroy our bodies, our souls, our minds, and not to undermine the foundation of society, which is marriage and family. So, but for those who think it's only the Old Testament, or for those who think the Bible doesn't speak against homosexuality, our list of verses begins with the New Testament. And so here are some of them. 1 Timothy chapter 1, the law, and this is the law of God, right? The Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says in verse 9, the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the unholy and profane, for murderers, for fornicators, for sodomites, and that's a Greek word for homosexuals, sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers. Remember, thou shalt not bear false witness. That's perjury in the Ten Commandments. So Paul writes that the law is not for the righteous. Why is that? Because the law brings you to Christ, and then when you come to Christ, you're no longer under the law. Then you're motivated by love, and you don't have to be scared, whereas the law speaks to those who are under the law that they are guilty and condemned. That's the teaching of the Apostle Paul, and that we are no longer under the law. So Paul writes that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for murderers, for fornicators, for sodomites, kidnappers, perjurers. And so, of course, this is all a part of the law. And so adultery, for example, is not only a sin, it's also a crime. Now let's go to the New Testament epistle to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 6, also again verse 9. The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor those who covet. And of course, coveting is lusting for what you must not have. And it goes on, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners. So that's from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, lumping homosexuality, which would include lesbians and sodomites, with fornicators, idolaters, thieves, drunkards, and extortioners, right? All this wickedness. Then there is the world's greatest theological treatise, which is Romans. I cannot wait for October. We're going to take a Bible tour of Italy. When in Rome, do Romans. And if you're interested in going with us, we're going to have a wonderful time. And you could find out all about it, kgov.com/Italy. What a great time we'll have. For some folks who could only put in about a week, then we will see southern Italy. And for those who could stay a bit longer, there's a 5-day extension to northern Italy. We'll be going where? Florence, Venice. We'll be stopping in Milan. I forget, I got to look at the page again. So we've done this before. We've also had Bible tours of Israel and Greece and Turkey, and now back to Italy. What a wonderful time we'll have, and undoubtedly we'll make new friendships or strengthen others that will last forever. Folks love these trips. I love these trips. I really hope you can join us. Well, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians in Rome, and in chapter 1 of his epistle, the greatest theological treatise in the history of the world, Paul was writing about, quote, vile passions, and unquote. And then he added this, even the women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature, Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful. And so what? The liberal says, well, the Bible doesn't even speak against homosexuality. Yeah, right. Remember Jesus taught in Mark chapter 10, he was quoting Genesis, that from the beginning of the creation, God made us male and female. And then in Mark chapter 7, he said, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, sexual immorality, murders. So adulteries, that's one form of sexual immorality. And then he listed sexual immorality separately, the Greek word porneia, which encompasses all these other forms of sexual immorality that God listed in the Mosaic Law. And in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 23, remember Jesus said, woe to you who have neglected the weightier matters of the law, and the lesser, he adds in the same passage. You're supposed to keep the lesser laws and the greater laws. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 18, he says, not one jot or tittle, that is, not one dotted I or crossed T, will pass from the law until all is fulfilled. So that's in the New Testament. Then the Old Testament, we're just nearing the conclusion of the book of Leviticus. On Sunday mornings at Denver Bible Church, the adult Bible study, we go through the Bible verse by verse. We're up to, what are we up to? Leviticus chapter 22, I think it is. We're near the end of the book of Leviticus. Well, we're up to, what is it now? Yeah, Leviticus chapter 21. So we just completed Leviticus 20. And in fact, in that chapter, Leviticus 20, verse 13, if a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. In fact, what, two chapters earlier, we saw the same thing, Leviticus 18, 22, you shall not lie with a male as with a woman, it is an abomination. And you know, of all the diseases that the homosexual lifestyle spreads, one is AIDS, and tragically, 35 million human beings have died tortured deaths from AIDS, which is just one of the diseases that is spread by normal homosexual behavior. Acceptance of homosexuality became a curse to those people and to their loved ones, though many are in denial about this. They don't realize that. And then you go back to Genesis chapter 19. The men of Sodom surrounded Lot's house, and they said to him, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out here. They wanted to sexually assault them. So then the New Testament draws the lesson from God's destruction of that city in the penultimate book of the New Testament, the second to the last, the penultimate book of the whole Bible, the book of Jude, in verse 7. It's a short one-chapter book. Jude wrote this, Sodom and Gomorrah, having given themselves over to sexual immorality, they are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So that's in the New Testament. And that's from Jude, who's one of the brothers of Jesus Christ. James is another one of the Lord's brothers, as they're listed in the Gospels. So those are some of the verses in the Bible that condemn homosexuality. And the condemnation is powerful, and it's done in love because God does not want people to destroy themselves. And God loves your son more than you do if your son is a homosexual and you approve of him. Then your approval is helping your son to destroy himself and live in rebellion against Jesus Christ and eventually be separated from God forever. That's what your approval is doing. Remember that proverb in the Bible, the kindest acts of the wicked are cruel? Remember that? So some woman has a homosexual son, and she's so nice and accepting of him and his partner, encourages them to adopt children, so that children now are victimized by being raised by homosexuals. And she's so kind to him, right? In fact, she's nicer than God. As Proverbs 12:10 says, the kindest acts of the wicked are cruel. And we have that verse on our website, kgov.com/nice. Christians are often taught not to be righteous, but to be nice. And those are not synonyms. Remember C.S. Lewis, he pointed out that the hardness of God is kinder than the softness of men. Isn't that powerful? The hardness of God is kinder than the softness of men. And so we cover that in our website, kgov.com/nice. That's our Nicer Than God article. So that concludes, really, we've addressed this issue of homosexuality from a dozen different perspectives just last week and now concluding today. And so if you want to share any of this with anyone or post it on Facebook or send out a tweet with a link, it's so easy to do, kgov.com/homosexuality. And, of course, you could encourage a friend, a grandchild, a neighbor, an enemy. Hey, did you hear this Denver radio show on homosexuality? You might want to hear it. Then you give them that link, and hopefully it'll be yet another person we have reached. We've reached many homosexuals who've turned against their sexual perversion and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Westward wrote an article on Bob and Yurt Live, and they reported on one homosexual from Indiana who was a homosexual activist, out the whole thing, and he heard the gospel on the show. He heard us condemn homosexuals as perverts, homosexuality as rebellion against God and a gross perversion, and instead of hating God all the more, he recognized the truth, and he repented and turned to Jesus Christ. And his name, you could find it on our website, but today he's not only a Christian, but a Christian husband, father, homeschool father, and he shares the gospel. So exciting to see lives changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you're listening right now and you're not a Christian, we encourage you to go to our website, kgov.com/gospel, kgov.com/gospel. And right there, you know, you'll see the gospel. Of course, if you want to contact us, if you want our DVD, Mount Moriah, The Evidence for the Resurrection, if we can help you consider the claims of Jesus Christ, and then if you would pray to him and ask him to forgive your sins and put your trust in him and believe in his death and resurrection. By his resurrection, he's overcome death and hell so that you could live forever with your Creator and with all those who love him. So that's our hope and prayer for you if you're not a believer. And if you are a believer, you might want to go to that page anyway to prep yourself for sharing the gospel with others, for having some of these resources on the tip of your tongue, so you're ready to share the gospel. Or if you encounter someone who has different interests, you could just share with them, email, post a link, tweet, one of the links we have there to share the gospel in many different ways to meet many different kinds of people depending on where they're at, what language they speak, and so on. It might be, you know, one of the themes of Bob and Yurt Live is our lists, where we provide list of evidence for the global flood, list of evidence against the Big Bang, list of dinosaur soft tissue discoveries, and so on. And so in a way, although it wasn't intended, that's true of the gospel also, it just may be the very best presentation of the gospel on the internet in the ways to reach out to so many different people in so many different places in their lives, as far as what denomination they are, as far as what language they speak, and so on. It's all right there, kgov.com MarsDiscovery.com/gospel. So now we still have the Mars Discovery, and we still have, I'd like to do a debrief on our weekend at the Western Conservative Summit, downtown Denver. Diamond and Silk were there. You may have heard of them. The U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions was there. So many. Of course, Biff Gore, the president of Colorado Right to Life, he opened up the whole event, and he sang Saturday night, his band. Wow, just amazingly awesome. And Matt Walsh gave undoubtedly the best talk of the whole event, not only against abortion, but against those who say they're pro-life and they have exceptions, that is, they support killing some kids. Then there's a guy, the Radiance Foundation, Ryan Baumberger, I believe his name is, he spoke. He was conceived in rape. And his talk reinforced Matt Walsh's talk, which was reinforced by Colorado Right to Life's message to the folks who were in attendance and the speakers. So at any rate, we want to get to Mars. We want to get to the Western Conservative Summit. But first, let's hear this audio from David Dietrich, his YouTube video, Reverse Thinking. He reads, basically, it's a poem, and it's so discouraging. Then he reads the exact same thing backwards from the bottom to the top. And you see it. We'll embed it on our YouTube channel. You'll see it. It's stunning. Let's go to David.
I will live my life according to these beliefs. God does not exist. It's just foolish to think that there is an all-knowing God with a cosmic plan. That an all-powerful God brings purpose to the pain and suffering in the world is a comforting thought. However, it is only wishful thinking. People can do as they please without eternal consequences. The idea that I am deserving of hell because of sin is a lie meant to make me a slave to those in power. The more you have, the happier you will be. Our existence has no grand meaning or purpose. In a world with no God, there's freedom to be who I want to be. But with God, life is an endless cycle of guilt and shame. Without God, everything is fine. It is ridiculous to think I am lost and in need of saving. And that's how I felt before Christ opened my eyes, changed my heart, and reversed my thinking. I am lost and in need of saving. It is ridiculous to think everything is fine without God. Life is an endless cycle of guilt and shame. But with God, there is freedom to be who I want to be. In a world with no God, our existence has no grand meaning or purpose. The more you have, the happier you will be, is a lie meant to make me a slave to those in power. Because of sin, I am deserving of hell. The idea that people can do as they please without eternal consequences is only wishful thinking. It is a comforting thought, however, that an all-powerful God brings purpose to the pain and suffering in the world, that there is an all-knowing God with a cosmic plan. It's foolish to think God does not exist. I will live my life according to these beliefs.
And don't you stand on faith.